Alrighty, let's see if we're ready to go. Logan, if you want to close the book. And we'll ask some of the questions that the guys have.
He's reading the newest Occupants comic book. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes. If we had it.
Hi, I'm Julia Camera, screenwriter of Occupants, and you're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Whatever you do, I'll do it too. Show me everything and tell me how. It all means something and yet nothing to me. Oh, I can see there's so much to learn. It's all so close and yet so far. I see myself as people see me. Oh, I just know there's something bigger out there. I wanna know, can you show me? I wanna know about these strangers like me. Tell me more, please show me. Something's familiar about these strangers like me.
Everybody, and welcome to another episode of Comic Pop Visits, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
Jonathan
and Logan,
and we are talking today with Julia Camera. She is the screenwriter for the film Occupants that we reviewed in the past episodes. That we actually talked about the film with her and Russ Emmanuel, the director, and then Russ was on before, and now we're having Julia back on. So Julia, thank you for coming back to us.
Thank you for having me. Very excited to be talking to you again.
Yes, and if you remember Julia, she has done a lot of writing and producing, directing. She's kind of does all the different traits within the industry. She wrote and directed the award-winning comedy short Never Odd or Even, that won the Best Conceptual Comedy Short at the New York International Independent Film Festival. Then she had a second feature that she's done two features. Besides The Occupants, one was Open Road, which was probably her latest before Occupants. But the one,
correct.
And Occupants has garnered her and the crew, I guess you would say, or staff of Occupants. I don't know how you would term that. I'm not a film person, so correct me, Julia.
But no, crew's great.
Crew's great, okay. Mm-hmm. They've won several awards this last year and even into this year, and one of them, Idlewild Film Festival, is that correct? Where Julia won for Best Writer. So congratulations on that.
Woo!
Thank you.
Russ mentioned that the past time as well. So it's just kind of nice to see everybody just lining up and beating on your door and saying, come see us and show us what you got. So, but we're going to, as much as Julia will allow us, Occupants has been out, and it has been out to purchase for a while. You can get it on Amazon. You can probably find it on the video on demands of some of the different sites as well, I believe Russ said. The physical copies, they've kind of been in and out. We actually bought one for us, but it seems like I haven't checked lately, but when we were talking with Russ, they were waiting for more to come in. So that's good to see that people are wanting to purchase the film. So that must be gratifying for you, Julia.
Yeah, no, it's very exciting. I actually had a few friends of mine also asking me, you know, when can I buy the film? And they were out of copies for a little bit, but it looks like they're in again. Yeah. So please go buy them.
So it's very cool that people, I mean, you've done all these conventions and people are remembering. So that's very cool to see. And like I said, we're going to do some spoilers, like I said, as much as Julia will allow us. It's been out for a month now, so if there's anybody that really hasn't seen the show and doesn't want to know the spoilers, that
don't listen to this episode.
Right. Check out the Occupants. Wait a bit. Check out the Occupants, then come back and listen to it. Mm-hmm. So, but as we
Spoiler alert.
Really?
Yep. We're going to be pulling Game of Thrones here.
Yes. Well, maybe that not that bad. I don't want any threats of somebody coming to beheading me. So.
Oh, no. I'm putting you on fire.
Yeah. But one of the things that we had questions about was when you were writing this, Russ kind of got into it just a smidgen, but what was the emphasis for the story? Because he said, you know, that's where you would have to come in and let us know. But what was the idea behind the story? And the main part we kind of scratched our heads on, and maybe it's a thing, but we'll jump right into it, is the vegan diet that opened the portals. If you want to get into that discussion, if not, let us know. We'll walk around it.
No, we can talk about that.
How did you come up with that idea, or is it actually something you found online?
So the main idea for the film, I feel like I got snippets of the idea here and there before I put it all together. But I had read about, and big spoiler, but I had read about this guy who really did poison his girlfriend to make her miscarry.
Oh, okay.
And that had been in my, like, mental file of things I wanted to use in a film. So that's actually, like, ripped from the headlines.
Okay.
But with Occupants, I knew I wanted to have a simple story with just two characters in one location. I knew she was going to be videotaping. Mm-hmm. I just didn't know exactly what she was going to find. And I kind of had to come up with this gimmick. I'm like, okay, what is she videotaping? I know she's making a documentary. What is she videotaping? My husband and I were smokers for many, many years when we were together. And we quit smoking at the same time.
Oh.
So we went through that, like, detox together. So
that explains the vegan diet.
Yeah, I wanted to use that, but without the smoking part. Okay. So that's sort of where the vegan diet came from. Like, I wanted them to be going through this physical thing that's affecting them, that could potentially be straining their relationship, you know, given that they may or may not be reacting all that great to, like, dieting and having to deprive themselves. You know, and the fad diets are such a Los Angeles thing to do that I had to include that. I have been living here for almost 18 years now, and I'm like, yeah, it's a very LA thing to do. It feels like every few months somebody's on some kind of weird diet where they're, you know, I don't know, juice fasts. And if I had a dime for every time somebody stopped me at a party and decided to tell me all about their diet, I would be very rich right now. But that was the genesis of this idea. So they're dieting. I know the story's simple. I know they're going to be in one location. And I knew I wanted him to poison her at some point to make her miscarry. And then the idea of having an alternate couple doing that started to sound really exciting to me, because I just felt that, like, it's going to be really hard to follow this couple if they're doing this horrible things to each other. Because she was, of course, going to retaliate and poison him back.
Right.
So that's kind of, that was my workaround. I'm like, how are we going to sit here and watch these people basically torture each other and still want them to, like, live at the end and, you know.
So we're going to watch them torture each other.
So then this idea of, like, okay, so maybe it's not them, it's this other couple they're watching, but then, you know, they're always going to be in fear of, could we become those people that we're watching, and would, you know, they be capable of doing what the others are doing? So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I guess I should make mention that we kind of skirted around this, but that's my fault. But Occupants is basically a other dimensional type movie where there's basically a parallel universe and they cross through the dimensions. So that was my fault for not quite going into that. So some of the things with the other dimensional stuff, we kind of looked at some of the things, and, well, let's jump back for just one moment.
Sure.
Just the, when you were writing this, and I give kudos to the casting of Brianna and Michael, because was that one of your big worries? Because, you know, there was these two people, a couple that you basically were the sole purpose of the movie, the sole focus, rather, not. And, I mean, how unusual is it to find two people that have, to us, when we watched it, had great chemistry like that? I mean, usually you see a little bit of quirk or something, that, but they seem to have good chemistry.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that was definitely what made the film what it is, for sure, to be able to have those two actors, and the chemistry that they have together is undeniable. I was definitely worried, especially as someone who has been in a relationship for a very long time. I know what that looks like, and I usually have a problem in movies when it feels like couples are not real couples, like you can tell that they're not real couples. But they were able to create this report that I think is amazing, and they pulled it off brilliantly.
I totally.
I know that when Russ was casting the film, he Michael was cast first, and then Brianna came later. But they read together, and he could tell right away that they were going to work really well together. So
yeah, mm-hmm. Because I totally completely agree with that. Because like even without the script, it seemed like you know they were kind of quippy right away. Like Brianna would say something. And Michael is right there saying something right after her. It was kind of like a real, it was kind of like a real husband-wife type situation. Yeah. Like, and you know, she was sitting up in her office, and she said something about his office, and he's in the back scene. He goes, "I heard that." That was just brilliant.
Yeah.
And we're talking about Brianna White and Michael Pugliese. I hope I pronounced that right, Michael. I apologize if not. And they played Annie and Neil Curtis, the couple from the movie. Mm-hmm. But
they also played Annie and Neil Curtis, the couple from the movie.
True. The other dimension. There you go.
What's, yeah, the alternate.
Yeah. And you were on set, and you know, you kind of mentioned it was nice to see them hitting the chemistry, but I know you had inside, probably before they started, you were probably squirming. Like, oh, God, they're going to be able to carry this. You know, that's every writer's fear. You know, will the actors be able to carry it and be relatable to your audience? But did you really have to go and coach them any, or were they pretty much receptive of everything and just flowed with it? Because, like I said, it just seems so natural. So I didn't know if you coached them a little bit or not.
I know. So Russ was the one that like worked really closely with them. I was on set very little at that point. My daughter was a baby, so I was mostly just visiting set, which was bad for me. I'm the person who likes to be on set every day. Mm. Of every film that I write, but that was it was a new situation. It was only 5 months old.
Yeah, good reason to neglect it this time.
Yeah, and good reason to neglect it this time. You had a little one to care for.
I know. But I know that Russ worked very. He worked with them a lot on like just doing improv and making sure that you know the words felt really natural to them. But a lot of what we see is scripted. So
okay.
I wrote it in a way that I kind of knew I wanted to sound like very natural, true to life dialogue. Mm-hmm. So a lot of their report also comes from what was in the page to begin with. But I know Russ let them like be really comfortable and really do whatever they needed to do to get to the characters.
So you were even more on pins and needles if you weren't able to be there. So that,
I know, yeah. The first time I saw the film, I was definitely on pins and needles, just hoping. And the very first time I saw the film was one of our first big screenings, and it was at the Writers Guild of America with a bunch of my friends from the Writers Guild and just a lot of people that I respect and admire. And I'm like, I hope this movie doesn't bomb because I haven't seen it yet. I have no idea what to expect. So, but yeah. It didn't. It worked out great.
Definitely. So. And you've been to probably between 15 and 20 conventions now, festivals.
I know, yeah. We went to so many conventions, Russ and I, last year. I mean, we started, gosh, I didn't even know. We did so many. But I know a year ago we were at San Diego Comic-Con. That was like one of the biggest ones we did. But yeah, we've done a lot of conventions.
That's cool. Mm-hmm.
Festivals. I don't even know how many festivals. Like, he's kept track of all the festivals we've played at. I'm like, I forget. I think it's been something like 30 screenings. Wow. Sorry, that's my child screaming. Wow.
She wants to be known and her voice be heard, by golly.
No.
Well, one of the things we kind of looked at was the parallel universe. I know you're going to approach that again in the second film, so I know you can't talk a whole lot about this, but one of the ideas that Lenny and Jacob threw out there, and since they're not here to ask this, I'll ask it, and you can say whether you want to answer or not, but they kind of felt like it was more of a, kind of like how America's is, or the Americans, the TV series right now, when Russia takes over America, it's kind of more of a, you know, a structured society, or a 1984 type society, where it's just so structured and so sanitized almost. I mean, it's a very completely different feel, and it just feels really... What did they relate it to? Was it Nazi Germany?
Yeah, I think so.
So, sure. Were you playing with that in the back of your head? And if you don't want to answer it, we can go on. So, it's up to you.
That's interesting. I mean, the part of the parallel universe that we see is so contained to just that house.
Yeah.
There was the other theory they had that it was literally just that house. They kind of have to go to work somewhere.
If you open the door, they go to another universe. The world we see is so contained to just the house. It's really hard to know what the reality looks like outside of, you know, where they exist. That's cool, though. And pretend it was my idea all along.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. We won't tell anybody.
But I always envisioned their reality. I mean, I'm always writing from the perspective of really just the characters and their immediate day-to-day lives. But I've always envisioned the parallel reality as, you know, pretty much this universe, but with slight differences.
Right. Well, we noticed with the actors, and I know you said you weren't on set that much, but it looks like they must have shot one set of scenes first and then went back and did the other set.
They shot all of the... I know this from doing too many conventions, and I know if you were here. Shot the original couple first, and I think that was like 7 days, and then the last 3 days was the parallel couple.
Okay.
So Brianna had to go dye her hair, and Michael got a haircut and shaved.
Right.
His process only took like 20 minutes and hers several hours.
But by golly, you gotta... Hopefully she had a little bit of fun with that.
I mean, she's a brunette. She's a blonde in everyday life. So I think they were toying with, like, should we get her a wig? Or, you know, ultimately they dyed her hair because it always looks better than a wig.
Well, I know... One of the things we looked at was how they looked, you know, even with the hair dye, with the clean cut. I mean, they looked different.
Yeah, they did.
It was the same people, you know, like, wow. And like you said, the subtle differences, that was kind of neat because you saw, like, okay, the pillow might be a different pillow or the different color of something.
The refrigerator was different.
Pictures. That was kind of neat how they did that. With writing this type of a screenplay or just a story in general, like you've been saying, it's so contained. What drove you to write this contained story, and how long did it take you? Did you have parts where you were kind of like, oh, God, where do I go from here? Or did it just kind of naturally flow out, and you're just like, here it is?
So here's the part where the story of how I wrote the story has come back to bite me in the ass a little bit. Originally, I had this idea and I wrote this very quickly. I wrote most of the screenplay on a flight from Los Angeles to Sao Paulo, Brazil, where I'm from, where my family is.
Okay.
And I wrote about 80% of the first draft on that one 12-hour flight. And now fast forward to, you know, my life is different. I have a child and I have all these other things that happen. And Russ has been waiting for me to write the sequel, and it will probably take close to a year, as opposed to 12 hours for the first draft. And then, like, it took me, I think overall, maybe 3-4 months to complete the draft that Russ got. And then we worked on it a little bit longer, but it definitely was one of the scripts that I wrote the fastest, I think, because the idea came to me really well defined already, and I knew who these characters were, and I knew exactly what they needed to do. So it was just really a matter of putting it down on paper.
Inspiration strikes as it will.
Yep, true. Inspiration strikes as it will. It's true. <Yeah. laughs>
And now, because Russ has heard me tell the story so many times, he's constantly going, well, get on the plane and just finish the And I am going to Brazil soon, so maybe who knows? Maybe that will.
Or you might come up with a completely different story.
Yeah, there you go. Come up with a completely different story on that plane trip.
But I think, I mean, I knew, I like, and it has become like the thing that I do really well now as far as writing, but I like the stories that require like minimal characters and locations. Okay. I mean, from a budget point of view, I know those stories are, they often get made because they're easier to get made because it requires less money. So I gravitate towards like, how can I make this exciting and have very little characters and, you know, need very little resources to make the film. But it's become my thing now, where like I have another script that only has three characters and it's a different setting and everything. But in a way, it's like it's become the thing that I'm very good at and that I do a lot. I mean, and maybe that's why I'm bumping against the sequel, because we've definitely expanded and there's way more than two people in a room and there's more characters, there's more storylines.
Okay, that's what's going to be my next question.
That's my challenge here.
Yeah, that's what's going to be my next question, because Russ kind of mentioned it, that you were going to expand the world and didn't know if you wanted to get in too much detail about how expensive it was. But you're going to actually go out and look at the outside world, whichever dimension it might be in, though?
So we, I can give this away without spoiling too much. So the sequel, we're definitely still in this reality, the same one that Annie and Neo live in. And we are going to see at least one other reality as well.
Okay, cool.
I'll give you that.
Cool.
Which really, I gave you nothing. I feel bad.
No, that's
I preface with like, I'm gonna give you something and then I give you nothing.
It's a tease. That's what it's all about. You gotta tease everybody.
It's a very small tease. There are definitely more characters. We do kind of pick up a little bit where the story left off. In the first
police
film.
Investigation.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely an investigation.
Cool.
That's correct.
Russ kind of gave us a little tease, too. But I don't know if you want to...
No.
Yeah.
I can't even remember now, to be honest.
I remember.
Okay, I'm too old. I forget stuff easily.
I don't pay enough attention. I forget stuff easily.
If you want us to take it out, we can take it out. But Russ is
already...
No, but I'm saying Russ did give us a little tease about Neil and Annie.
Well, they can go back and listen to that podcast if they want to. Give incentive to go back and listen to that one.
Yeah. But,
with the God, where was it going to go?
I don't know.
You distracted me.
I'm sorry.
You're not supposed to do that, Jonathan.
Hey, at least I didn't go down a rabbit hole.
True.
Start talking about like Alice in Wonderland or something like that.
Oh, her.
good job.
With the different type of screenplays that you've written. God, I can't even talk now. Written. You've done sci-fi, you've done horror, you've done comedy, The Open Road, I would almost say that's kind of comedy-drama, probably, somewhere in that area. What do you enjoy most? Do you like the comedies more, or kind of the sci-fi angles, or you just kind of enjoy just the writing in general?
That's a good question. I think sci-fi is always fun to do. Because it does give us an opportunity to explore ideas, you know, like an idea that might be a little bit harder to swallow if it's a drama. You'd buy into it if it's sci-fi because like, hey, but there's this thing where it's not real, you know, it's not the real world.
Right.
A little bit, you know, suspend your disbelief with me. Come with me on this journey. So I think I'll always probably write sci-fi. I have done a few dramas for sure. Comedy. See, it's crazy. It's crazy to say. I'm like, yes, I do comedy. I do drama. I do sci-fi. I do it all. I think comedy is probably the hardest to do as far as writing. Although I've written comedy, I wouldn't necessarily consider myself a comedy writer. Like, I could not sit here and tell you, you know, oh, here's tips on how to write comedy, because I don't even know if the comedies I've written are effective as comedies, if they're actually written. But I do feel like, yes, I could probably give tips on how to write sci-fi or horror or thriller, because that's mostly what I do, and I do consider myself a genre writer.
Okay.
And, you know, drama is, it's like the bread and butter of everything, right? Like, it all starts with a drama, so...
True, and even Occupants to a degree. You can, you know, at any good sci-fi or horror, they'll put some drama in there. So,
yeah,
and as well to kind of go along with this question, we've kind of mentioned, you know, you've been a producer, you've been a director as well. Is there one facet that you enjoy more? And it's like when you're a director, you kind of have more control over things than what you might have as the other positions. So especially if you're writing direct, then you really have control.
Yeah.
It's like,
there's no one else to blame but yourself.
Well, there is that avenue too. But is there one you prefer more than the other, or are they...
So I started directing as a way to see my writing produced.
Okay.
So I do consider myself a writer first and everything else second.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, though, I did spend a couple of years where I didn't work on anything, and I was really, I mean, not, I didn't spend a couple of years not writing. I spent a couple of years didn't direct anything. And I absolutely missed it. So I know it is something that I enjoy doing. I enjoy having the control. You know, what you really get is exactly what you envisioned. Mm-hmm. But with that said, I also really enjoy collaborating with other people and letting other people take the reins and do what they want, you know, with my stories.
That's cool.
Yeah. Because then you get to see your story, their variant of your story, and maybe a few other people's variants.
Yeah, especially if you get into the fan fiction with people really enjoying your stuff. Oh, that might be something. Mm-hmm. I haven't even looked for this, but with the occupants kind of hidden like this, you know, maybe you might get some fan variants out there.
You know, it is so exciting. I think after every screening we've had, the reactions we get from people, the ideas that people have and theories, and it's so great when they come to you and they're like, oh, you know, I think this happened, or what about this? And I'm really waiting for the fan fiction. I think it would be a trip if it happened.
And
it's that aspect of what we do that's so exciting when, you know, once your work actually hits an audience and they bring something to it, and, you know. I would love to see some fanfics and go for it. Fans of the world.
There you go. Because it lends itself well. Because since it's other dimensions, mm-hmm. I mean, fans could really have fun, because they could say there's infinite number of dimensions and just really go wild. So,
yeah.
So even though it might not be, you know, fan fiction, they're just having fun. So they can take it anywhere. Sometimes to places you might not want it to be. Mm-hmm. Or places you want to. It just depends on your taste, you know.
I know. Sky's the limit.
Yes.
So.
But that would be kind of cool to see some of that going on. And with the... See, when we were talking to Russ, and I hope I don't want to offend you or him, and I hope I didn't him, but, you know, this is kind of, you know, I kind of see this as a sci-fi thriller. And then when I was kind of shocked, you know, when we first were talking with each other about viewing the screener stuff, you know, everything was horror, horror, horror. So I was like, okay, what's this going to be? But then when we sat down and watched it, I was like, you know, I think it's more apt that, like you were saying, you enjoy the thrillers. And this was, to me, more of a sci-fi thriller and just had a twinge of that horror. Just, you know.
Yeah.
So I was kind of interested in, you know, the marketing and the crossover appeal it had. And do you have an idea of why it might have crossed over so well into the horror genre?
I know, yeah. The audience received the film really well at Shriekfest Film Festival. We won, I think it's Best Sci-Fi Feature or Best... Yeah, I think that's what we won. I think because it's... We've done too many festivals. I sound like a snob, like, oh, I don't even know what we won. I think at Shriekfest it was Best Sci-Fi,
okay.
But that's a film festival that's all about horror, and I've seen some great horror films there in previous years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it is a testament to, you know, because we have a blend of genres, we are able to get, you know, a little bit of every fan that's out there.
Okay.
Like anybody that likes, you know, sci-fi, they'll get a good fix of a little bit of, you know, grounded sci-fi with our film. You know, if you like a horror film, yes, we have
the element.
It is there. A horror film if you think about it. It's not, you know, wall-to-wall blood, but, you know, we have our scares in there.
Right.
I would definitely consider Occupants more of a sci-fi thriller, for sure.
Okay. But I just thought it was so interesting how it took that divergence and went into the, but it's cool to see. But you know, I enjoy the horror, and I kind of classify horror as dark fantasy to a degree more than horror.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I like the dark fantasy label better than horror. Just you get different connotations with, you know, anymore. Most people think of the slasher movies as the horror stuff. It's like, no, that's not really the true horror that Hollywood came out with back in the day.
I know. Yeah. I almost feel like the slasher genre, it's a genre in itself. Yeah. And, you know,
true.
But yeah, I mean, that is the danger. Like if you're expecting a slasher, that's not what we did.
But I enjoyed it. You know, we watched it, and like I said, if it wasn't for the actors, the greatest chemistry, this one could have went downhill fast, but we started watching it, and they captured our attention. It was like, this cool story, so I was like, this is working out great, and to have people contained on the set for that length of time and doing it, very commendable on the storytelling, so congratulations on doing that.
Thank you.
Did you have anything? Nope. Okay. I'm trying to make sure everybody gets questions if they want. Some of the things that we did want to mention to you that Russ said that you'd probably be willing to do before we get in some other things is some of the upcoming projects, if you want to mention any of those. We know you're working on In Transit. If you want to let everybody know where that is at and how they might be able to, once it's released, is it going to be available digitally that they might be able to view once it's done, or what's the progress of that project you're working on?
So In Transit is in post-production now. We're very close to completing it. It's my passion project for now. It's something that I shot with my husband, who was my DP and my producer, Tim Aldridge, and we shot it all here in Los Angeles for a very reasonable budget with some great actors. I really just wanted to experiment. It's the first time I've directed a feature, so I'm really excited to see the completed product. But it's a drama, so we're talking about genres earlier. It's definitely a drama.
Okay.
And I've spent so much time traveling because I'm originally from Brazil, but I've been in LA for 18 years. That I always wanted to write something, you know, about when you get your flight delayed and you're just hanging out in an airport and you have nothing to do. And that's the setting for the film. I just have two people who have been, you know, delayed or canceled, and they just need to fill time at the airport. And they strike up a conversation that ultimately changes the course of their lives, really. So again, too, it's what I was talking about. One location, two actors. It mostly takes place in one night, although it took us a little bit more than that to shoot.
For some reason, that happens. I don't know.
We should be done with post-production before the end of the summer.
Cool.
And I will let you know. I will probably be playing a couple of film festivals here and there. But it will be on VOD very quickly, too. So I can always update you as we know more.
Definitely. And we've been kind of doing some things with some of the friends that we've developed through the industries, whether it's authors, you with the film industry, some of the musicians. We always say if there's something that's getting ready to come out, if you want to do a pre-pub, we're more than welcome, you know, even if it's just 50 minutes, say, this is what's coming out, this is when, go see it and give a short synopsis, a teaser. You know, we'll do that for anybody. We're here to help everybody out. So
that would be fantastic. So, thank you.
So if you want to keep us in mind and shoot us a PM when you're getting ready. And I also told Russ that as well. But
cool.
Is there anything else you want to mention that you're working on, or is that pretty much all that you're kind of really concentrated on right now?
So I'm actually getting ready to go to Brazil next month, and I'm going to be shooting a short film that I wrote when I get down there with a great friend of mine who's also an actress. She has helped me cast and produce this. So as soon as I land in Brazil, we're going to be shooting this, and I'm heading right back here to edit.
Oh, man. So no vacation, huh?
Yeah, it's a working vacation type thing. Or like, create vacations and then I create work to do during my vacation. But I just completed a comedy short film too that should be done before the end of the summer as well.
Very cool.
I didn't write this one. I just directed. So, okay. So yeah, I can always let you know when things come out. And
oh, definitely. We'll like I said, we'll definitely pop out. And then the other thing, just have a little bit of fun, because I know we're kind of getting close to the time, because I know you're busy there at the out there in California. And but just as a side note, I'm a DC fan. The other guys here are primarily Marvel fans. Logan's kind of with me, DC. Mm-hmm. But
I'm both.
Jonathan's kind of both. But I've loved the DC stuff. But we just wanted to get your thoughts about Wonder Woman and how you thought it was portrayed. And, you know, every film, everybody knows every film has a little of their quirks, and some stuff works, some stuff doesn't. But as a whole, I mean, we loved it, but for you, how did that translate to the big screen? Because everybody thinks Linda Carter, but now it's like, Gal Gadot's kind of, she's almost taking it over.
Well, so you were talking to a person here who has been waiting basically the entire time I've been on planet Earth to see Wonder Woman in the big screen.
Ah, cool.
So I was living a childhood dream by just by the fact that that movie exists and I was able to go see it. I was like the happiest little girl in town, because honestly, like, I had birthday parties as a kid where I dressed as Wonder Woman. So I've been waiting for this movie for the 37 years I've been on planet Earth, and it finally came out. So, I mean, I loved every minute of it, honestly. I have no complaints. The only complaint I had is I wish I had been able to see it twice in the theater, but I was only able to see it once. That's my problem with responsibilities and a child and a husband.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, no, I loved it. I think Gal Gadot is a great Wonder Woman. And then it didn't occur to me how much she looks like Linda Carter until I saw a picture of the two of them together, and I'm like, oh yeah, they could be mother daughter. I think the film's amazing, and I'm excited to see the sequel.
Well, see, one of the things that I've always talking with my friends here is that Marvel's a little bit. You know, it's modern day, and of course DC is too, but, you know, they have a brighter atmosphere, and they're always saying, you know, DC is a little bit more darker and stuff. And you see this online as well. But I'm like, but since the 80s, that's what DC's trope has been. That's how they separated themselves from Marvel. And it's based on mythology, which a lot of mythology is tragedy. So it's kind of like it makes sense where the direction they're going, and I love it. So as a just a general theme for the new movies, what are your thoughts about where they're taking it to the darker place?
Well, I think the tone, it's always tricky. I mean, if you do a superhero movie that's too tongue-in-cheek, then we're talking about, like, you know, Batman
and Robin. When
George Clooney played Batman, and it's like, it didn't work for anybody. Like, you know, we all, like, let's forget those Batman movies existed. They're, you know, they've rebooted them. It's like, You can't go that tongue-in-cheek with superhero movies, but you also can't take it too seriously.
Right.
Because it is a superhero movie. It's supposed to be, you know, a summer popcorn movie at the end of the day. So they're always walking that fine line. It's like, it cannot be too cheesy, nor can it take itself too seriously. Because at the end of the day, it's like, we're talking about people in capes.
Right.
It can't be that intense.
True.
But with that said, I'm not, you know, I wasn't a fan of Batman versus Superman. The best part of that movie was Wonder Woman. Honestly, that's the only part that you're like, yes, okay, now we have a movie. And then you're like, I don't really care about the other stuff. But yeah, no, I mean, given all that, I am excited to see what they do with the sequel. And, you know, well, Justice League is going to come first, so
right,
we'll have that. That right. Teaser was crazy, huh? A Comic-Con teaser for Justice League. True. That was.
I've been interested from the beginning. Like I said, I'm a DC fan, so it's like I'm eating this up. But, you know, in general, just sci-fi, comic books, fantasy. This is a dream time to be living, because we didn't have this much stuff when I was growing up.
Exactly, right? I mean, all I had was, you know, Linda Carter as Wonder Woman as a kid. And even that was, like, way before, you know, I was mostly watching reruns on television at that point.
True.
When I was a kid. It's like, it wasn't even new. So yeah, no, it is exciting that we're having, you know, that the sequel to Wonder Woman's announced, and we have Justice League, and we have all these other things coming out.
So I'm excited anyway. So
no, I'm super excited too.
But this was the first, you know, this is where I think people are thinking backwards, but it's like, you know, I guess they did have Tomb Raider, but Angelina Jolie just kind of, I don't know. There's just something a little off with the performance for some reason. But, you know, before this, that was pretty much what you had was Tomb Raider to base it on. And everybody was so scared. It's like, no, if you go to your bookstores, you go to your comic shops, there's your strong female protagonist right next to your male protagonist. You know, it's like, what took so long?
Mm-hmm. So. I know. I mean, it's probably one of the reasons, too, where I've gravitated towards genre projects so much, you know, sci-fi, horror, thriller, because it's not a unique situation to have those films with a female protagonist. If you think about, you know, all the, like, the great horror films, you know, you probably will see a female protagonist.
Yeah.
Think about, like, the Alien franchise or, you know, a lot of these big blockbuster, awesome sci-fi films. It's like there's usually a female protagonist. It's probably one of the reasons why I gravitated towards those genres, too. But, you know, it's Hollywood's issue. Hollywood needs to realize that, you know, women buy movie tickets, too. And men want to see women, you know, in a leading role, too. Yeah. It's not just about the guys all the time.
And like I said, I am a comic book collector, but I'm also a toy collector. But the toy industry is about the same way. You know, the hardest figures to find there, and so few produced, were the female figures. And it's like, but we want those.
Yeah.
You know, they're just as important as all the others. It's like, so.
I know. They haven't learned from the mistakes they made with, like, the original Star Wars series.
I know.
Where everyone wanted to buy the Leia dolls and that they couldn't find them because they didn't make enough of them.
Yep.
And they became more valuable because it's like, oh, there's only five.
Oh, yes.
And yeah. And whatever value the things can sell, you don't actually advantage from that value because just because those figures say they're worth $100 or $200 doesn't mean you sell them for $100 or $200. You sell them still for $20, $40. That goes regardless of the worth. So go ahead and sell more.
True.
Why shortage?
It'd be more for the companies.
That happened with Amiibo sometimes too, if I remember information getting correctly.
Well, your secondary marketers are getting the profits instead of the main companies. Mm-hmm. Which, I'm like you, it doesn't make sense. So, yeah, I agree with you there. Make more so the main company gets more money.
Yeah.
But we're kind of, like I said, we're wrapping up. We wanted to have a little bit of fun with you and visit a little bit about that. But to jump back into Occupants, we're definitely excited to hear that there's a sequel coming up. You are writing it. Is there anywhere where fans can go of the films to see what the progress is? I think there's an Occupants fan page on Facebook.
Yes, definitely join the Occupants fan page on Facebook.
But is there anywhere where they can follow you with the projects you're working on besides just Occupants that you would want to let everybody know about?
Yes, absolutely. I'm on most social media platforms under Julia MCA. I have a fan page on Facebook as well, where you tend to see less, no pictures of my kid and just my work.
Okay.
I've been trying to separate. I'm like, all right, for those of you that don't care to see how cute my child is, you can follow my fan page on Facebook. But you can usually find me on Instagram and Twitter, Julia MCA. And my website is my name, juliacamara.com, JuliaCamara.com. And for updates about Occupants, the website is occupantsthemovie.com.
Okay. Very cool. So anybody that's out there that's interested, and we know there's quite a few because they look at the history of it. Go to IMDb, look up Julia Camara there. You'll see Occupants as well as some of her other projects, and you'll see Occupants is made for a small independent film, have been very well received by everybody. So congratulations on that as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Again, like I said, if you have time, want to jump back on when you have other projects, we'll definitely have fun with you if you're willing to have fun. You might tell us what to do. You say, no, you can't do that.
Have we done the Wonder Woman review yet?
No, we haven't done the Wonder Woman review yet, no.
So we might be able to get her on for that.
Yeah, we could possibly do that. If we do a Wonder Woman review, if you're interested, we could contact you and tell you when we're going to do it and try to schedule in a date and time. So.
Absolutely. And then I can prepare something meaningful to say other than, like, be a fangirl drooling, going, I loved it, I loved it, I loved every minute of it.
Okay.
We'll I can come up that. With some more, like, elaborate thoughts
okay.
about why I loved it.
We'll have to look into that. And I think, Jonathan, we're going to have to...
Actually get him to
yeah,
see
it. Yeah, get him to see it. So it's probably going to have to wait until after the DVD's released because
yeah.
since we're kind of geared for aftermarket instead of in the theater.
Yeah we so. Don't really pay attention to spoilers a lot of the time, so.
Yeah, usually you don't have to worry about spoilers by then.
Yeah.
So.
It's a good plan, yeah. And I mean, it's hot nowadays.
Movie True. Guy.
So we'll have to do that. So when we get ready to do that. But. Like I said, we've been visiting with Julia Camera. She is the screenwriter for the Occupants movie that we reviewed. We didn't actually review Occupants, have we? We've just visited yeah. with everybody. Had fun. We've gushed about it for everybody. No, we just gushed about it with everybody.
Wow.
I thought we did do a review before we talked to Ross.
No, we didn't. We had Julia and Russ on.
Oh, I guess we
did. We talked about it there. We kind of did the interview and a review all in one, kind of. And this is a little bit more of an in-depth review, kind of, because we're getting behind, you know, inside scoop stuff with the story. So thank you, Julia, for doing that for us tonight.
My pleasure.
And like you said, if you want to follow Julia, go to juliacamera.com. We'll have the links below. We'll also have the links for the Occupants movie as well. We'll find her Facebook and get those links. So anybody that's interested wants to keep up with her projects, we'll have those there. So be sure to go back and check the show notes and you can start following her and her projects. But this one that we've been talking about, Occupants, her next one coming out that's in post-production, remember, is In Transit. So be on the lookout for that as well. And hopefully we'll have her back on to visit about that as well. So exciting news. But Julia, we've had fun. We hope you've enjoyed this evening.
Thank you. I had a great time. You guys are amazing.
Well,
thank you so much for having me again.
Definitely. And we will have to do this again in the future. Like I said, either we'll do it for Wonder Woman, and then we'll also kick it back with you again when we have some new stuff that you're wanting to let everybody know about. So.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
But we've been having fun. We hope, like I said, everybody out there has been having fun. We'll see everybody on the flip side. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Come along with me and don't be scared. I just wanna set you free. Come on, come on, come on. You and me can make it anywhere. But for now, we can stay here for a while. Cause you know, I just wanna see you smile. No matter where you go, you know you're not.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.